probably going to be the last week. As I read through the scripture, I keep finding more and more things that go along with repentance that come from an R. So, like, I could keep doing this for a long time. But we're going to talk about repentance being the road to a couple different things today. And kind of put it together, three different things, because they kind of fit together. And that's restoration, reconciliation, and relationship. Okay? So we're going to kind of cover those together because they're sort of like a package. And I don't know if anybody noticed, but on that whiteboard over there, I drew an arrow. Okay? I want you to keep that arrow in mind as we kind of think about a few scriptures that talk about these different areas of life. So first of all, we want to make sure that we remember what repentance is. And a lot of times we can figure out what repentance is by what it is not. Repentance is not just a lighthearted apology. Okay? It's not an apology that we know we're wrong, but we're going to keep doing what's wrong. That's not repentance. If we do that, basically we are proving that we're not very repentant. So like whatever it is, it's a burden on your heart, whenever God places it there, repentance is a change of mind. A change of mind is proven by a change of direction. I don't know if you noticed, but down at the sign, down at the road, I put on there not long ago that repentance is like a U-turn of your life, okay? Because, you know, I like visuals. I want to have things that, like, stick in my mind that if I say I'm sorry to God about something He has clearly shown me is wrong, then it means what I'm saying is that I'm ready to change. I'm ready to change the direction. So for me in my life, you know, one that has been a challenge for me is explosive anger. And whenever I get mad, it just wants to come out. That kind of led to keeping the mouth shut today, that message. It also leads to the idea of U-turn. If I tell my wife and I tell God over and over and over again that I'm sorry for getting angry and showing that in a bad way, the only way that it really shows I'm sorry is if I quit doing it, if I really try to quit doing it. Now, will I struggle? I'll probably struggle till the day I die maybe with that. But the struggle's getting a whole lot better. I'm getting a lot better at it because I'm really committed to making sure that I stop doing that in my life. For some, it may be, you know, regular church attendance. And so God's put His finger on that in your life, and He said, you know, I want you to be there more regularly. For some, it may be church membership. It may be church involvement. It may be that God has really shown you that He wants you to be a part of the kingdom of God here. And to be fully involved, fully invested, take up a ministry in this church and do it regularly. What would regularly mean? It just means regularly. It could be something that's done every week. It could be something that's done every day. It could be something that's done every month. But regularly taking responsibility for something, being a part of what God is doing. If you feel repentant about that, that means changing. It means going in the opposite direction. So what I'm doing is I'm putting this into things and just putting it into practical application. Okay? If I have a bad habit in my life and God has put His finger on that bad habit, no matter what it is, if He has shown me that I need to give that up, you're not really repenting until you decide you're going to change. Okay? Now, or will you do it perfectly that very first time you try? Most likely not. But with the power of God, you can overcome. You can change. God can give you the power. Do I get an amen to that? God can give you the power. Now, see, a lot of times we take repentance as being like a guilt trip that I have to do it on my own. That's not how God looks at this. He's saying, you come to me with the willingness, and I'll give you the ability. I will give you the power. God is able. God has all power under His disposal. And so one of the first things that we've got to have in all this is we've got to have a right relationship between man and God. That's that vertical arrow, okay? And repentance is the key to this. We can't really have a restoration until we have true repentance. So let's look at Psalm 51, verses 12 through 13. It's in your little bulletin insert there, or you can look it up in your Bible, or you can just look up here at the board. I want you to be able to have this in many different ways that works for you, okay? You make sure and take those sermon notes home with you. And I'll also let you know, we post this sermon online as well. So if you want to listen to this sermon again, there's something you missed, or you want to pass it on to somebody else, it is available on our website, cadetforchrist.com, Or you can simply go to our Facebook site for Cadet Baptist Church, and there'll be a link on that at a given time. All you got to do is hit that link, and it takes you right to our website, take you right to this sermon, and you'll be able to listen to it. Because I want you to have many different opportunities and means of being able to review this. So Psalm 51, verse 12 through 13. Let's read it together. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Now here's the key, guys. This is the key. This church is planted here to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that He has commanded us. And lo, He is with us even to the end of the age. Why are people not being converted? Why are because they're not being taught His ways. And they'll be taught His ways when the people of God get right with God and have the joy of His salvation. A lot of times we think of it as, give me the joy of my salvation so I can go off and enjoy it by myself. But you notice the terminology here is very specific. The joy of your salvation. God owns salvation. I may possess it. It may be something that is in my future that can never be taken away. But to enjoy the joy of it, I have got to stay connected to Him. He is the source of salvation. It is in Him. It is in Jesus Christ. And if I lose the joy of that, it's because there's something in my life that is separating me in relationship with Him. I need to be restored. I need to be restored. Now, the separation of relationship doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation. David didn't lose his salvation at this time. This is David speaking of a time whenever he had committed horrible sins. In fact, if you know the life of David, this is right after he found out that it was him who had sinned so greatly in so many ways out of blindness whenever he had committed adultery, had literally lied to and murdered the woman's husband, trying to keep it from getting found out because they had a child coming. I can tell you, I'll bet the joy of the salvation in the Lord was probably a little dim to David during that time, don't you think? But you see, David cried out to God in this psalm, and he cried for restoration. We're not really going to have revival till we have restoration. Restoration comes through repentance. And man, I'm going to tell you, this is repentance of a man of God. Make you a little star beside that. Read the rest of that psalm today. I want you to read all of Psalm 51 today. It'll just take you a few moments, and I think you'll get a fuller understanding of what's going on here. So to have that restoration, it comes through true repentance. Let's talk about reconciliation. We need some reconciliation here. Reconciliation. To bring together two things that have been separated. Okay? To bring together two things that have been separated. How many of us have ever felt that we needed to be reconciled to another individual at some time in your life? It can be the most painful thing in the world. Well, I can tell you, to be separated from God is the worst thing ever. And so there's a reconciliation process that happens through this. And remember, we're talking about this arrow that faces upward, this vertical arrow. And so let's look at this just a little bit and see what happens in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. His whole purpose for going to that cross was to make reconciliation. You see, there had been a separation between God and man because of our sin. And I can say that even as a believer, if we have willful, disobedient sin in our lives, it's going to make us miserable and feel a separation between us and the closeness of God. That repentance is the key. We must repent. You know, something I'll have to say to you on this. If you think that God's going to quit bothering you about something that He's shown you is a problem in your life, that maybe if you just ignore Him for a while, it'll go away. You got another thing coming. Because I see people, and I've experienced it myself, that have gone for years trying to avoid God in a different issue, one issue or another. Repentance is when you decide you're going to change. Repentance is whenever you decide that you are going to turn your direction. And I can tell you that as soon as you do, even before you get it all straightened out, even before you got it all perfected, you're going to feel a weight lifted, and you're going to feel a joy in your salvation with God. You're going to feel a reconciliation of your relationship with God. How much more whenever we're talking about somebody that's truly lost, that's hell-bound, and yes, hell is real, hell is hot, hell is forever, hell is eternal damnation and punishment, hell is the future for every person whose sins are not covered by the blood of Jesus. Imagine how much better that reconciliation feels. Do you remember, maybe some of you do, maybe some of you don't, some were very young whenever they were saved, and maybe they don't remember, and if you don't, that's fine, but how many of you do remember the day you got saved? I do. I was 30 years old, and the day I got saved, I'll never forget. That night, actually, it started out to be the worst night of my life, and it ended up the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'll never get over it. And I can tell you, you don't have to convince me to share that with other people. You don't have to guilt me into sharing that with other people. I'm scared to share it to other people, just like all the rest of you guys, but I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest joy of my life, and I want other people to know about it. And I think when it's the greatest joy of all of our lives, we'll want other people to know about it. And hopefully you're already doing that, but that number needs to continue to grow. Because I can tell you nationwide, only about 2% of the people in the church nationwide actually share their faith. 98% of the people don't share their faith. I think it's a better percentage in this church. I think we're an abnormal church. But the normal church nationwide, the percentage-wise, is only 2% of people actually actively share their faith. That's a problem. And it ain't a problem we can guilt people out of. We're not going to guilt them out of that or into that. What we need to do is help them feel that reconciliation. I'll tell you why people aren't witnessing nationwide. We are so burdened down with all of our compromise that we feel too guilty. We are afraid to tell somebody else about something that we're not doing ourselves, and that's just the way it is. And I tell you what, whenever we get rid of the immorality in our lives, and we repent of it, and we want to be a cleansed vessel, and we get excited about our relationship with the Lord, and we're feeling it, we're living it every day, we'll be sharing it too. It'll just be an inadvertent thing that happens. Can I get an amen to that? That is church growth program right there. That's the same church growth program that Jesus promoted. When people were excited about what Jesus was doing, they were going out and getting everybody to come. The lady at the well in Samaria, she knew He was the Messiah. She went and got everybody she could get to come with her in that town and said, "You got to see the man I just met." And you know what? After they saw Him, they said, "We believe not just because of what you said, but because we have seen Him too." You see, that's the thing, guys. It ain't all up to you. All you got to do is make the introduction. They see Him, they'll get saved too, those who are appointed unto eternal life. Now, you're not responsible for what happens after that. We're going to leave that in God's hands. All you got to do is introduce. And Jesus promised, "Anyone who comes to Me, I will not cast them away." Can I get an amen? That's church growth right there. That's reconciliation. Let's read on. Next scripture there on your sheet, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21, and that's exactly what this is saying. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself." I want you to take a moment, if you've got a pen, and on your sheet, everywhere you see any facsimile of the word reconcile, underline it in that scripture. Underline reconcile or reconciled or reconciliation or whatever you see there that goes along with that. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we..." I want you to point at yourself right now. I know you're doing some underlining there, but point at yourself for a minute. "We," all right, "we then are ambassadors for Christ. Do you know what an ambassador is? That's a representative. That is like that you are a representative of the greatest king. You're a representative of the ruler of the universe. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us to implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That vertical L, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, became sin for you. He knew no sin, but he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can I get an amen? Is that not the most exciting news in the world ever? Your whole life? Jesus saw you, and he said, I don't want you to go to an eternal, everlasting hell. I don't want you to die in your sin, so I am going to take your sin upon me. I am going to voluntarily carry it to that cross, and I'm going to nail it there and leave it there forever. All you got to do is believe and trust me and follow me, and you have eternal life. Now, some would say, well, that's just too simple, preacher. That just means that people will get saved, and then they'll do what they want to do, and they'll just sin, and they'll live in degradation and feel like they're saved at the end. No. You truly get saved, you won't want to live like that no more. You truly get saved, you'll love Jesus with all your heart, and it will grow every day, and you will realize what he's done for you, and you will be so grateful that you will want everyone else to share that same reconciliation with God. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. You, my friends, my brothers and sisters, are ambassadors for Christ. God is pleading through you to a lost and dying world. Now you do what is necessary to keep that reconciliation process very fresh in your life. Stay reconciled to him every day of your life. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, show me if there's anything hindering me. If there's anything between me and you, I want to know it today. Get your life right with God. Stay right with God. I'm telling you, God is going to do amazing things, pouring his grace through you. You go into this world. You go into this life. You go to your job. You go to the store. You go to the gas pump. You go wherever God sends you, and you just shine for him. And when people give you an opportunity, you tell them of your joy. That's what the Bible says. It says, be ready at all times, Peter said, to give a reason for the hope you have within you. Do you have that hope? If you got that hope, then you need to live that hope. And don't be afraid to show it, because you are an ambassador. You've been reconciled. Romans 5, 8 through 11. This is a good one, too, to remind us of this. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? He didn't do it when you were good enough, guys. He did it while you were still in your sin. He did it while you were still in your sin. He can do it for that other person that's still in their sin. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Yes, wrath. Through him. We're going to be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. There's that word again. To God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. Wow. Do we have reconciliation? Does it start at repentance? Absolutely. So we have that restoration, we have that reconciliation, and we also have relationship. You know, our God's got a relationship. Did you know that? He's a God that is revealed in three persons. Perfect relationship. One time in all the history of the universe and all of forever was that relationship ever have any kind of a chink in it at all, and that was when Jesus went to the cross. When he went to the cross and he had all the sin of the world heaped on him, and yes, I do mean all the sin of the world. Every ugly deed, every bad thing that's ever happened, Jesus took it to the cross with him. And he looked up to heaven and he said, my God, the only time in the entire life of earthly life of Jesus did he ever refer to God as anything but his Father. He always said Father before that. This one time he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt that separation, that brokenness. And I think that was the part he was dreading the most in the garden, guys. He did it willingly. He's a God of relationship. You know, he didn't create us because he needed us. I want you to know that. I've heard people say that. Well, he had a need for a relationship, so he created man to have that. No, he created us because he wanted relationship with us. I want you to understand, he don't need us to do anything. God could do whatever he wants, however he wants, according to his law and according to his power, and he's not limited. He wants relationship with us. Got some parents in the room. Do you want relationship with your children? Do you want it to be shallow? Do you just want it to be, they'll come to me a couple times a year just because they want to kind of keep me happy? I see parents that get that kind of relationship with their children, and they're usually grieved by it. Yeah. My child will come to me when they really need something. Boy, that makes me feel really loved. Not really. Right? How about the children in the room? You know, the children love to have a relationship with their parents, don't they? You don't want to hear from your parent like once a year or a couple times a year. Maybe Christmas and Easter. Are you seeing where I'm going with that? I'm kind of picking here, I know. Guys, that ain't relationship. Right? How about husband and wives in here? You just going to go to your wife whenever you need something? You just going to go to your husband whenever, you know, you're just going to try to keep him appeased and not really too mad at you? Not much of a marriage relationship like that. That won't work very well. It won't go real deep, will it? No. See, in relationship, you really want to spend time together. And I'm telling you, you can't really have relationship till you have true repentance either. Okay? If you find out that your significant other has some really bad secret that they're holding from you or some really bad habit that's hurting you, and they're trying to keep it a secret and do what they want to do in that, you're not going to feel loved. You're not going to be able to be close. You're not going to be able to really have a close relationship. And so that's the thing, guys. The reason why I say significant other, because even in parent-child relationships, child-parent relationships, friend relationships, no matter what kind of relationship we're talking about here, that ain't going to work. It don't work with God either. You see, God knows everything. Do I get an amen to that? You're not hiding from him. And here's the deal. God wants relationship with you, and it starts at that moment of truly repenting and just making sure that you put it all out there on the altar, and then you leave it out there. And every day you put it out there again, and every day you put it out there again. You don't hide nothing from God. You desire to walk with him, follow him, know him, and that's what this is talking about. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Man, that's a relationship there. Children of God, children of the God of heaven. You see, a lot of people think somehow God's got grandchildren or you can be born a child of God. No, you got to be adopted. You can only become a child of God by adoption. And you're born a natural child on earth, and yes, God's your creator, but he can't really be your father until you give your life to Jesus. Then God becomes your father. You become a child of God. To those who believe in his name, believe there means faith. Like, that means putting all your eggs in that basket. Okay? You're not hedging the bets. You're not believing in one thing and then in another, but no, this is your faith. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God himself. So there's your vertical relationship. Okay, guys, thing of it is, God created us for relationship too. He don't want you to stop there. You see, he's worried about this line as well. You see, on that cross, Jesus opened the door so that we could be reconciled to other people as well. He wants us to be reconciled to other people even before we bring his gift to the altar. If you look at Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Anybody remember the two greatest commands that Jesus told while he walked on the earth? It's not in this scripture, but it's in another. But you should have this one memorized. It's about love. Okay, that's one of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the first one? Go ahead, Esther. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, right? And to love your neighbor as yourself. Love Lord your God, love your neighbor. And that's where we're at, guys. I'm telling you, here's the deal. Repentance is truly the key to those relationships as well. You know, I'm a guy. You can all say amen. That just says a lot right there, okay? Says a lot about how I operate, kind of straight line, you know? I thought with my wife, if I just stopped doing the bad things, you know, that'd be enough. I could be close to her. I could have her heart. I could have that closeness. But I found out she actually wanted me to own it and to repent of it, to be humble. And she had forgiven me. I mean, I believe that she forgave me, you know, of a lot of the stupid things right away, actually. Guys, I don't know if you all know this, but your wives are pretty forgiving creatures. You need to appreciate that, amen? God made them special. They're really special. Okay. And I, guys, you know, you can be forgiving too as well. But I mean, there's just something really wonderful about a woman and the forgiveness that they show. Even in children and everything, you know, they just have a wonderful tenacity about them to be able to continue on. But I can tell you guys, don't take that, mistake that as that you don't really have to repent. If you really want their heart, you got to repent. You got to be real with them. And I think it goes both ways. All of us guys out there and everything, you know, I mean, if we, maybe we've been harmed by others or whatever, we got hearts too, right, guys? We got hearts. It's a little hard to find them sometimes, but they're there. You know, yeah, it helps if our wives or those other people in our lives are willing to be repentant as well, to have true relationship. Here's what God says about it. He really wants us to take care of this kind of stuff, okay? So don't put it off. He says in Matthew 5, 23 through 24, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, listen here, guys, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Guys, he wants you to be right with one another. He wants you to be right with the people around you. He doesn't want you to be walking all over other people's hearts and then coming here and saying, oh yeah, I love Jesus. He wants us to make sure that we're at least attending to those other relationships first. It's really important. I'd say that if Jesus himself took special time in the Sermon on the Mount to make sure we got this point, this is a big one. Okay? Not that all the others aren't, but I'm saying this is a big deal. He's saying, I don't even want your gift until you make sure that you make it right with that person, maybe that you're at odds with or is odds with you. I think it's pretty important that we at least address those subjects. We at least reach out to them. Now, can you make that person reconcile to you? No, but you can sure repent of your part. And I'm not just saying, I'm sorry, but, see, if you'd been here last week at 6 o'clock, some of you were, you learned, that's not really an apology. If it has an if or a but in it, it's a pretty weak apology and it's probably not going to be received well. See, what we really want is, I'm sorry and I intend never to do that again. And if I do, I want you to show me so that I can make sure I try to make it right. See, because we all make mistakes. Do I get an amen to that? We're all going to blow it sometimes. So let's be forgiving to one another. Let's be gentle with one another. Let's continue on with one another. But I can tell you, God wants you to be right with one another. First, be reconciled. Then bring your gift to the altar. So let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you'll just help us truly repent of anything that you may have just pointed out to us, Lord. I think that maybe it starts at the altar sometimes. We go to that altar. We can't leave everything we intend to leave there for you until we get our heart right. But Lord, we do need to get there, let you point it out. So Lord, what is it that you're desiring for us to do right now? It could be that there's someone here who hasn't really placed faith in Jesus yet. we can't even really get started on this whole journey until we get that part right. So repenting of our sins, saying, I'm sorry and I don't want to continue down that road no more. Lord, forgive me, become my Lord and Savior today. That means my boss, and I'm going to follow you. You're my king. And Lord, there may be just some that's realizing they got some issues they need to deal with. We do. Lord, even churches can be guilty of sin and need to repent as a church body. So I just pray you'll show us whatever it may be. We'll do this thing together, Lord. We'll stay together. We'll continue on together. And above all, we'll have the full power of God. Just like Psalm 51 said, then I will teach transgressors your ways. They'll be saved. That's what we need, the power of God. So Lord, please pour yourself out on us today. And whatever you put your finger on, whatever pressure we feel, I pray we'll deal with it today. Don't put it off till tomorrow. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Verse, I always like to end on that verse, because of thy promise, I believe. Guys, don't believe because I said it. Don't believe it because somebody else told you about it. Don't believe it because maybe somebody else believes it. Believe it because of the promises of God. And I can assure you, God's never broken a promise, and he ain't going to start now. God is perfect in keeping every last one of them. So think about the promises of God today. Read the rest of Psalm 51 from beginning to end. And I think it'll bless your heart. And by far, above all other things, if God reveals something to you, do business with him. Get right with him. If he wants you to get right with somebody else, maybe just pick up a telephone call and call them and start that process, do it. Do it. You may have a million reasons. You'll think of a million reasons why not to, or it ain't the best idea, or it's only going to hurt things. Hey, forget all that nonsense. If God lays it on your heart, do it. And because God can do things that nobody else can do. All right? He's good. He's able. All right.
Do we have any birthdays today?